This call is now being recorded.
This is Prince John Yetha Eli talking with Mr. Walter Farabee. Mr. Farabee is the Minority Women in Business Enterprise Coordinator for this city in Winston-Salem. How are you doing today, Walter?
Doing well.
Wonderful, wonderful. If you would, tell us a little bit about what the MWBE office does for the city of Winston-Salem and the community.
Well, the MWBE office, our main job is to assist local minority and women businesses in getting work with the city on several different levels, the largest being on construction projects. That's formal construction projects that are estimated to be $300,000 or more. On those projects, we have participation goals that the general contractors bidding have to meet with utilizing minority and women businesses. And so I track those projects, make visits to the sites, and talk to the MWBEs. And by the end of the project, make sure that the general contractors have met their goals and made a good faith effort to get the participation on those projects. Another aspect of the MWBE office is departmental spending. Every department, of course, does spending to some extent. And so I push our city departments to work with local minority and women businesses, and I help them make connections to local businesses. And then the last aspect of the MWBE program would be helping people to start their businesses and just help them pull all aspects together of creating a business and hopefully being successful.
Well, wonderful. Well, let's pick up on that last aspect. You talked about business startups.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, how important is strategic planning to starting a business successfully with the focus on funding? In my research over the past 2 years in interviewing entrepreneurs, I found a keen lack of strategic planning, and every entrepreneur I've interviewed has said it's been very detrimental to their business. What kind of commentary or feedback would you provide on that right there?
Well, what I would say is even since I've been doing this position, there are a lot of aspects to starting and maintaining a business that people oftentimes don't think about. And a lot of people, they have a dream, they're good at doing something, so they say, you know, maybe I'll go into business for myself. But they don't take into consideration the fact that you have to know what you're doing. You have to have equipment. You have to have materials and supplies. You have to pay for those. Also, you have to find a way to build the price of all the background costs into whatever the goods or services that you're providing. People also don't often think about marketing their businesses. That's probably one of the most important aspects, is that you know who your target market is and how to reach them. And also, you need to be able to utilize resources that are available to you, like our MWBE program and small business assistance programs here in the city and in my department. A lot of people come in and they just say, oh, well, somebody told me as I'm starting my business or I'm looking to do work with the city, maybe I can contact you. And I didn't know who you were or what you did. But people need to take the time and not just jump into something because that's what they want to do, or say their back is against the wall and they're out of a job, just say, I'm going to start a business. It takes a lot of time to plan ahead, make projections, which I think a lot of businesses don't particularly do. How long will it take you to make money? How much money do you have to actually bring in for you to actually have some money left over for yourself? And also the contingency. You should always have some extra money left over. Don't put all your savings into the business, or at least make sure you have something left over in case your machinery breaks down or you get sick or an employee gets sick or something like that.
Right, right. It's funny that you mentioned that in the business world, because I've done a lot of work as far as financial planning and wealth management,
mm-hmm.
and the lack of financial awareness of mm-hmm. Americans is substantial. No emergency funds, and really underestimating the negatives that go along with simply living. no backup plan at all. So taking that vein and going to the business world, in your view, how important is it for a company to have startup funding, either in financing or in venture capitalists? How important is that to give the business the best chance to be a success?
Well, I think it's always important to get some additional startup funding because a lot of people that start businesses are working off of their savings or some money they have. And getting some money from the outside, if it's coming from a legitimate source, is always just good to have that extra backing. And also because when you're seeking funding from, say, a financial institution or the city or some other type of agency, they have a lot of requirements and regulations that they're looking for to make sure that you have thought out the whole process and that you are considering how much insurance you may need or permits or licenses. And just doing that research for them will also benefit you because it might unearth some things that you never thought about before. But like I said, a lot of businesses, they go in with everything they have, and then if things don't go well, they lose it all. Or even if they're having a successful business, but it's just weighing so much on them personally that they can't maintain.
Right, right. So would you say, Walter, that the lack of a strategic, thorough, and unbiased business plan is part of the problem that people have when they're starting a business?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they'll do the business plan and, you know, a lot of pie in the sky, and they think everything's going to go well, and they don't take into consideration how the economy may affect them. We're seeing that now all across the country, and also that maybe some of the things they thought they need to do or that they want to do, they might have to put that off for maybe 5 years, short term or long term. Maybe I'll go and expand down the road. I won't try to jump in that too far ahead of time. Because you have to believe in yourself to start a business, but you also don't want to be so into it and so much of a visionary that you don't think about all the negatives that could happen, the sort of things that you take into consideration when you're creating a business plan.
Right, right. Well, let me, I want to read something to you from a seminal text in Economic and Community Development by Edward J. Blakely and Ted K. Bradshaw. They say that despite the importance of small businesses as employers and sources of entrepreneurial drive, research evidence suggests that the failure, as distinct from discontinuance rate among new and small firms, is substantial. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that as far as saying that if 10 businesses start, we're going to see 8 of them go under? Or is that an overestimation in their view?
Well,
that's an 80% failure.
80%. Well, I'm not particularly sure of that percentage, but I wouldn't be surprised. There are so many people that say, for here at my job, I track people who get business licenses, who are minority and women businesses here with the city of Winston-Salem. And throughout the year, we see all these business licenses come in, 50 people this month, 50 people next month. And then I also track businesses that close, not saying it's the same businesses, but it's a large number of businesses year over year that close. A lot of people, they come up with an idea, they jump into it too quickly. They aren't always the best prepared and have it planned strategically enough. But many of them do fail. I wouldn't be surprised that 80% of small businesses that open fail. Of course, one good aspect to it is that they don't always fail right away. Sometimes they're having a good, you know, good go at it and business is going pretty good, and then things occur that cause them to close down. It's not so much the 80% close right away, but I wouldn't be surprised that over a short to long to mid-range term, 80% probably do close.
Okay. Now, as we talk about this failure rate, we know currently the United States of America is experiencing record levels of debt. Many mm-hmm. municipalities and states are also under fiscal distress. We see a stagnant economy regarding employment. You know, some people say that the employment is actually higher than what it is. So many people are turning to entrepreneurship as a response or a reaction to this economy. Mm-hmm. What mistakes would you say, Roger, people make when they're seeking startup funding or operational funds for their business, whether that be seeking money from a municipality like the city of Winston-Salem, or let's say maybe from a bank or a credit union, or maybe even a CDFI, which is a community development financial institution. What mistakes do people make when they're looking for investors in their business?
Well, a lot of the businesses that I have talked to that are starting or that have already established themselves, many of them are people who have been unemployed or laid off and just got tired of searching for a job. Because I don't work so much with startup companies, my answer is a little different. What I've experienced largely, almost at least one person a week, they call in and they say, what kinds of grants do you offer? And with the city and as far as business development goes, we don't offer any grants. We offer loans. And then they say, oh, well, that's not what I'm looking for, and they hang up the phone. And the reason I'm saying that is I think that a lot of people, they hear on TV and on the Internet, oh, there's so many grants and there's so much free money out there available. And so they think that everything is just going to be given to them. Granted, you may have a wonderful business plan, but that doesn't mean we're just going to give you some money and let you run away with it. So I tell people, well, hold up. We do offer loans, a loan program here, and it could be very helpful. You could get a good bit of money to provide assistance, and we also have technical expertise to help you with your business plans or whatnot, because a lot of people don't realize that even though a grant, you don't have to pay it back, it's not free. Grant applications can be very extensive. They can take a long time. And also, a lot of grants that come through the line, it opens up today and it closes a month from today, and you have to compile all of that information. And then if you are granted that money, the provider has a lot of regulations and requirements that you have to follow through receiving that money and applying it to the business. There's a lot of monitoring and reporting. So based on my experience, I think that's one thing a lot of people have a misconception about, that there's free money and we're just going to give it to you and let you do as you will.
Right. When I was in graduate school, did my first master's, I had a grant from HUD, and it was a substantial grant, but there were significant reporting requirements. Mm-hmm. And one of the things the department said is, this is an investment. You know, even in a grant, they want to see a return on their investment. So mm-hmm. they're going to track and see as far as how you do. Now, I want to kind of switch to the vein of minority and women business enterprises. Mm-hmm. And I want to read you another comment from the same text regarding minority businesses. They say that, in fact, few small minority businesses are good investments for anyone, including government. Most successful entrepreneurs of this type that pay back loans and investors are Asian small restaurants and similar service companies that have captive, linguistically challenged populations. Would you say that as the NWB coordinator that you see a lot of minority businesses that are prepared to step in to the entrepreneurial role, or do you see a lot of deficiencies where training would really help as far as being a success down the road?
Well, I would never weigh one racial group over another as saying this group is more prepared to be an entrepreneur, because anyone can be an entrepreneur. It just takes a lot of time, effort, good and bad. For the minority businesses that I've worked with and talked to, I think they would be good investments because they do have a drive. They're oftentimes good at what they do. And they're definitely a necessary aspect to the economy, because everyone can't be employed, or a lot of people do better on their own. And if we can assist those businesses to get work either with the city or elsewhere and help them grow their businesses, they can be, you know, well-known and notable businesses and companies here in the city, and they can grow outward. And they can also maybe down the road help other minorities to start their own businesses. But as far as talking about the preparation to be entrepreneurs, what I've run into, I don't think it's a minority issue. I think it's just what I've talked to is that a lot of them, they're good at their good or service, but they're lacking in some expertise on the other aspects of running a business. Like I said before, I work a lot with construction companies. So I'm trying to help them get jobs with general contractors on projects. An issue that many of them have had, which I think is just a lack of training, is that many don't know how to write a proper bid or quote. And so they're over-quoting, and, of course, they're not getting the job. So then they keep coming in. I'm going to these pre-bid conferences. I'm calling these general contractors, but I can't get on any jobs. So then I say, well, what's a job? And he said, oh, well, I was bidding on the landscaping project that just came up. And then they tell me how much they bid. And I think to myself, hey, do you really need all of that money to get the job? Well, I have to pay for gas. I have to pay for my equipment. I said, it's true, but another problem nowadays is that the economy being the way it is, many people are underbidding for jobs just because they need to work and they need to keep themselves and their men working.
Right.
So a lot of these minority businesses are missing out on good opportunities. Granted, you may actually take a little bit of a cut, but as long as you're getting work and you're building a relationship either with the city or general contractors or whomever, that's a great opportunity. I don't know if that is something that is unique to minorities. I think it just may be that many people aren't the best prepared to be in business on their own.
Okay. I want to ask you another question, Walter. Now, being that you have a education background in urban planning, mm-hmm. urban planning, of course, deals with how we affect the built environment to facilitate land use for a number of desirable goals, from housing to commercial development. In the context of business startups, what kind of things should entrepreneurs take into account regarding urban planning, particularly regarding restaurants or businesses that operate retail environments? What kind of things should they look for regarding or working with planning departments, or should that not be a concern at all?
Depends on the type of business. There are two parts to this and discussion of urban planning. If people do construction types of services and they work in that field, I think what they may want to do, they don't particularly have to contact a planning department, but they need to be aware of what different initiatives and development projects that their area is working on. If, like here in Winston-Salem, there's a lot of push for downtown development and urban development in the central city. These businesses need to be reading the newspaper. If the city says we have decided to do some projects to increase pedestrian friendliness in downtown, these businesses need to catch on and say, oh, that's something I can get on. Or if the city is saying, well, we need more public art. Someone has to install the artwork. Somebody has to do the landscaping around the artwork. Those are opportunities that people don't oftentimes think about. Now, on the opposite end, when you mention restaurants and retail, in urban planning, it's not so much always about design, but about the placement of businesses in a city. Many people want to start a business, and they say, well, I found a building that I think might work for me, but the building's in the middle of nowhere. In planning, you learn that businesses tend to do better when they are clustered together. People think, oh, well, I don't want to be around all my competition. But it's not so much that you're around the competition, it's that you are helping to build a location that is desirable for whatever restaurants or for retail. I don't want to open my Chinese restaurant on the middle of an empty highway just because, oh, well, people go up and down the highway. Sure, but people, when they think about going to have dinner or they're going to shop, they want to go somewhere where they have many different options. So I think that's something people don't think about planning-wise when they're starting a business because a lot of these businesses, oh, they have great food, but nobody's going over there. But if they go downtown, you're close to your competition, people go and they say, oh, there's so much here to do. And then your business benefits and you're more successful.
That's a very interesting point that you make, being around your competition, because in reality, being around your competition gives you an opportunity to outshine your competition.
Mm-hmm.
To compete. Mm-hmm. If you're by yourself in a silo, you know, you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you gonna, you know, really show yourself off? I wanna ask you a final question, Walter. Since 2008, we've had an event dubbed by some called the Great Recession.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen not only the United States but the global markets really retract, particularly in Europe, while we've seen economies explode in Asia. I don't know if you're familiar mm-hmm. with Jim Rogers, who's a renowned investor, thinks that Asia is going to be the center of coming world economic. Has this event over the past 4 years made it difficult for businesses to get startup funding, like a credit crunch? Or has it really had no effect? Is it just as easy for businesses to get funding to start a business as it was in 2007? Or is it difficult for businesses to get money to really get going or expand?
With the Great Recession, as it's being called, it definitely has tightened the reins on financial assistance for businesses, be that loans and or grants, particularly banking institutions, because the whole thing leading up to the Great Recession was that banks were investing in riskier loan applicants, be that for a residence and or a business. And so now they saw what happened. People were losing their money. Investments were turning over. So now the financial institutions are much more careful and precise with who they give funding to. A lot of businesses come in and they say, well, I've been to 3-4 banks here in the city and nobody will give me a loan. The good thing about our small business loan program here in the department, it is for people who have had trouble securing funding through traditional sources such as banks and credit unions. But people are a lot tighter on their money. They want to make sure that if they are going to take the time to invest in you, that you have had you have put much time, effort, research, knowledge, and that you actually know what you're trying to go into. That stresses the importance of having a good, solid marketing plan nowadays. People have to know that you have put, as they say, some skin in the game. If you've done all of this research and taken all of this time to put this marketing plan together, they know that you are considered or perceived to be less likely than someone else who just woke up last week and said, well, you know, I'm good at doing such and such, I need to start a business. It has made it much more difficult for people to get funding. But as all the nations across the globe have become more and more connected and interrelated, it has opened up more opportunities for businesses to do international business. People think, oh, well, I just have a little business here in North Carolina. Nobody's going to want this. But if you create a website, you update. Websites have to be updated. Businesses need to know that. You never know who may be flipping through and they come across you in China or somewhere else and they say, this is something we could use. You might be a little small town business, but you can always grow and there are many opportunities out there. You never know what could happen.
You make an excellent point. In the program that I'm in Western Carolina, one of the things that we were required to do was to start our own blog. And the department said it's very important that you recognize that a blog is an incredible marketing tool because it allows you to show off your company, yourself, and your expertise. And if you provide good content, you will get a dedicated readership, and that allows you to market to the whole world. He said, so you might be in North Carolina, he said, but on the internet, you're all over the world. Now, what you saying that
is that you may not know much about starting a website, but you can do a blog. All the instructions are there, and it's pretty easy.
Yeah, we used WordPress, and WordPress really has some very nice functionality when you use the plugins and all that. With you bringing up a website, do you feel like that the businesses are utilizing websites as a marketing tool, or could that be something that they improve upon?
I think more businesses could improve upon it. More people can get into it. Even if you aren't the most technologically savvy, you can take a class to learn how to create a blog or a website, how to maintain it, or you can always contract that work out. People have to realize in doing a business, yes, you have to be multifaceted, but you can't do everything yourself. You may need to call on somebody else who is a professional at doing that. I think businesses could improve upon that. And a lot of times I talk to people who are older, and they say, well, I have a business, and I'm having trouble trying to expand and grow. And I say, well, how about a website? Oh, no, I don't do all that. Don't look upon, down upon it. You can always learn, or you can get some help to do that. Because what I tell businesses is that, me particularly being a younger person, whenever I come up with an idea, I see a business on TV or in passing on the street, my first thing is, oh, let me look it up online. If I can't find the presence of your business online, I'm very unlikely to actually work with it because I don't know what it is. And the business and the websites have to be updated. People get a website and they've had it for 5 years with the same information, and I'm sure something has changed since you started.
Exactly. Well, now, let me ask you, I know I said I had one final question, but let me pick your brain for just one more thing. Are you familiar with angel investors?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in our program, we've been doing research on what makes a small business startup attractive to an angel investor, where they will come in and provide the seed capital or financing for a business. What are some of the things that you think a business should look out for when they get an angel investor and the angel investor says, well, I tell you what, we'll provide you with $200,000, but we want 25% ownership of the company, or we want to be on the board. And these are some of the things that angel investors, you know, they request. In your view, do you think that angel investing is a good route for companies to take who are looking for seed capital, or is it something they should take with some due diligence? What do you think?
Well, when it comes to anything with money, don't get too excited just because someone says they're going to give you some money. The idea of angel investors, I haven't done a whole lot of research on it, but like you said, I know sometimes they come, they may give you a lot of money, but then they want a large stake of the business. They want to be on the board and they want to have some input in how the business is run. If you are, if you come into interaction with the angel investor and they tell you how much they want to give you, make sure that it's something that makes sense. Sometimes, like, many things are too good to be true, and it may be. If you aren't willing to give up so much control of your business, and you don't think that's going to be the most beneficial for you in the long term, you may have to pass up a large sum of money and then just go get some assistance financing elsewhere for something that's going to work better with you. It depends on the business. It depends on your management structure or just the way that you tend to work. If you do better on your own, you may want to avoid it.
Right. That's a good word. I like that you are making it clear that you want to have a tempered, unbiased analysis when you're running mm-hmm. the business about what you want to do instead of going off emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found in my interviews, that a lot of feeling good and, hey, it's going to be great. And it could be great. It could be wonderful. But it's not great, wonderful for everybody. And that's it could true. Happen to you. So if that's the case, what is your response versus your reaction to prepare for that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't find that in my experience so far in doing interviews, I hadn't found that due diligence, I guess the Spock logical perspective on a lot of it. It's a lot of emotionally based, and that's not how you want to do it when it comes to money. You want to mm-hmm. look at the hard, cold facts and go from there. Okay, well, Walter, this was great information our interview, and we would love to come back at some time and perhaps do a feature on the NWBE program so we can really talk about that. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and thank you for your time,
okay,
and I'm
going to
stop the recording.
Okay.